Super Gamecast 64, episode 92. Today on the show, we're going to talk about so many things. The League of Legends, they have Earth now. Ooh, it's Earth. Depending on when you're listening to this. Mega Man Legacy Collection 2 came out. Tacoma. Lots and lots of things. If I don't jump off a bridge from dealing with all these audio issues, hopefully.
Please don't.
Hopefully this is the one.
We need you.
You're our only hope.
We'll talk about it. Let's go. Who wants to hit that MF and DJ, my guy?
DJ!
That was a good...
Wow, this is a really natural DJ for once.
Welcome to Super Gamecast 64. It's a comedy show. It's also a video game show. If you don't laugh, you're a sociopath. With me, as always, is...
It's me, Tyler.
And that guy, Kevin.
And I'm your host, Matt. Those guys lied. That wasn't their names.
No, this is Tyler. I promise you.
I'm right here.
Yeah, no, I'm Tyler.
And you're Kevin.
Fuck. If this is your first episode, I'm Matt.
With me as always.
Okay, we're just not even doing this. You guys don't even understand. I've been beating my head against this stupid laptop and like virtual inputs and outputs because I don't want to buy an actual mixer. So I've just been hating my life for the past hour. Now let's talk about video games. Oh, guys, we love video games. who's got a good intro bit that we can rabble on?
How about that? No, let's not sandbag it right away.
Nah. Let's not.
Sorry.
Who's your favorite character in Earth so far? Let's start with
that. Oh, you know what?
Like,
yeah,
you've been playing a lot of Earth, dude. I haven't seen you play this much League in a little while. I know you play pretty regularly. But.
So what's going to happen now is that the first, we're at 2 minutes. So the next like 5 minutes is going to be League. If you don't play League.
Real quick, just a jumping off point for those of you who don't know what League of Legends is. It's a MOBA, which is a multiplayer online battle arena where you choose a champion, you select your skills, and you fight against each other.
If you've never heard of a MOBA, there's MOBAs like Gigantic.
Yes.
There's MOBAs like Dota.
Yep.
Adventure Time.
Smite.
Paragon. Paladins. Overwatch. Agents of Mayhem.
It's not a MOBA. So the idea of these games is that there's a lot of intricate metagame involved. And so to go the way that Riot normally does and, you know, really, really commit to that metagame, they decided to throw it all out the window and make you as overpowered as possible, give you unlimited resources and low cooldown.
This all originates from an April Fool's joke. There was a character that they were going to announce and introduce into the game called Earth. He was a manatee. He had a spatula. Everyone knew it was a joke. Yeah. I still want Earth to come out.
I do too.
And then one April Fool's Day, because Riot always does something for April Fool's Day, they said that they replaced the very strategic, very tactile, one could say, gaming of League of Legends with this ultra rapid fire mode, which essentially makes you don't have to worry about conserving mana because you have infinite gold. Don't worry about farming that gold because you get way more than you should per second.
What's gold?
You just fire your skills every 2 seconds. It's essentially what I like to call it. It's the newcomer's best mode for League.
It also stands for ultra rapid fire.
Yeah. But the thing is that you can have champions that might play completely different in one mode, and then you take them into Earth mode, and they are crazy. So let's go around the table. If you played League, if you don't play League and you don't care, skip to like 10 minutes in. Hey, I like Warwick. Now here's the thing, Warwick. People are sleeping on Warwick.
Dude, you flamed the hell out of that guy.
Dude, you do not understand. All right, so like we said earlier, you can spam skills, right? And most of these kits, these skills are balanced to be able to be used properly and not be too overpowered. Now Warwick was just redone, and whenever Riot does reworks and stuff, sometimes it's unbalanced, and it really takes Earth to bring out those unbalances.
I think you mean Imba.
Imbalances.
Imba.
What is an Imba?
That's all.
Is that the demon that lives in your fucking closet and comes out at night and tickles your balls?
That's a demon that lives in Riot's closet that ruins.
You mean Rito?
Rito's closet that ruins reworked characters.
Small sidebar here. Riot is the people who make League of Legends, but there's actually three versions of Riot depending on what time you log onto the game.
Yep.
Everything can go, you know, normally, which is pretty shit usually. That's Riot. If everything is going great, that's your girl Tori, man. She's at the gates. She's giving you the best RNG. If everything is not going your way, you're against stacked teams of like a Heimer and a Lux and an Ezreal and a Katarina. That's Rito. That's please. Rito. He's not even allowed on the goddamn computer. He just gets up there and starts smashing buttons, and that's how you end up with Taric four fucking times in a row. I'm so tilted right now.
That being said, what Tyler, what was your favorite, what's your favorite character so far to
play? Let me finish my Warwick thing. The reason why is because every time you press his E skill, if you press it again, you can make enemies flee from you for like 3 seconds. Also, when his E skill is on, you take 50% less damage.
His Q,
you just jump on someone's back and you heal for like a quarter of your health. And also his W just gives him 50% extra attack speed. In the normal game, it takes, your E, you can use maybe 15 seconds. You know, take reduced damage every 15 seconds. In this, all the time, you're just taking half damage. And if anybody comes at you,
don't you move slower?
Doesn't matter. Because you can Q and jump right on top of him.
Good point.
It's literally just, he's unstoppable. He's also very quick. You can do a lot of damage with him. That's why I like him. But yeah, Tyler, who's your favorite? Because there's a lot to choose from.
Oh, I mean, it really depends on what... I like going through them all. I think the most fun I had was either Veigar or not Alistair. Alistair was not fun.
Alistair is kind of obnoxious.
Yeah, he's just annoying, but like since they got rid of Triumphant War and made it as passive, it's not that bad anymore.
Sorry, I'm adjusting audio over here so everyone can be heard normally. I apologize.
I would say Rumble.
Rumble is super rude. Rumble is like this little dude who's popped into a mech and he just shoots flames at you. He's kind of the cutest thing.
He's a big pain in the ass is what he is.
Swain.
Okay, yeah. Swain has been overpowered in League of Legends ever since... or Earth League of Legends ever since that mode started. They've tried to... when Earth first started, it was really just whatever you wanted. They weren't balancing anything. It was just kind of whatever. And since the game mode has popped up so many times over the past few years, they've gone to rebalance it and make it not so crazy. So for a few things, they've specialized it for Earth. But Swain just, he's like a Warwick. He's unstoppable.
It does not matter. Like it's funny that you say it's like Warwick.
Warwick.
Warwick. I sold my shoes at the last point because I was like, it doesn't matter how fast I am.
Going to catch them. There's two kind of characters in Earth. Either people who can sustain and just outlive everybody, mm-hmm. or people who fire so many spells you cannot even get close to them. Like Karthus, Lux, Ezreal is especially annoying. Kevin.
My favorite Earth character, because Earth you guys character? Have been wanting to know.
Your Earth.
My favorite Earth character is Scott.
Scott. Okay, you know, let's just forget Earth. My favorite Earth character, believe it or not, Marcus.
My favorite
Earth character... Wait, no, I gotta change that. It's actually Mark. Sorry, Mark.
You sure it's not DeMarcus?
Oh, shit.
What is his name?
Are you thinking of Bob?
No, is it...
Keep it going. This is Freeform. Is it Pooh? Evan.
Greg.
I think his name is Pooh?
Pooh. P-U?
No,
like he's like some sort of mystical arts ninja.
From Earthbound.
Earthbound. Pooh. Yeah. Ness. I played that game once.
Yeah.
For 30 minutes.
My mother.
My favorite is your mother.
No, I was just working off his Ness thing.
Okay, but for real, you got a minute and 30 seconds to tell these people why you like Earth.
My favorite champion so far in Earth of the like four I've played, because for whatever reason, whenever I play, I reroll and I get this character every time, is Annie. Yeah.
Annie
you basically get a stun at all times, and you can just drop your little teddy bear on top of everybody's heads, and then you can drop your balls across their face.
Tibbers.
Yeah, this I'm not doing my Annie voice because I don't want to publicly embarrass myself. The Annie is rude because like Kevin said, she's a character where every time she uses a spell, you gain a stack, and then once you've used like four spells, it's you stun someone. And since you can use spells every half a second.
Thematically, just think of Stephen King's Firestarter. That's basically what Annie is.
Yeah, so you take Drew Barrymore's dumb little face, and then you just replace it with a younger girl who has even redder hair, and then a giant teddy bear that she summons from hell. This is a 7-year-old. I don't want to mess
new
with.
New change about her though is that if you die while Tibbers is active, her bear's name is Tibbers, by the way.
It's Tibbers.
It gets really mad and goes ham on whoever attacked you.
Like, oh really?
It gets rage you, and it will just go after them. It and is the funniest shit to watch.
As we wrap up League Earth, that's a perfect example of why I like League of Legends is because there's always something changed. You know, I went and I played Cho'Gath, who's this giant like dinosaur creature. Yeah, he's a void creature, and then I went and played him like the next day, and I'm like, oh, they changed his spikes thing or whatever, and it's interesting. It always is wrapping it up, which also means that we're wrapping up the League of Legends. We just hit 10 minutes, so hey, if you skip to exactly 10 minutes, we
localized kept our, Mother 3.
We're talking so about Earth about for League 40 more minutes. No. All right, that was a good intro segment. I hope you guys have been enjoying Earth. Does anybody know when this goes till? Because it is there's an event wrapped around it with missions and skins.
Yeah.
I tried to look it up. I feel like it's like the 24th. Usually these things are only for a weekend. But since we're now into the week when we're recording and I can still play, I think it's going on for a while. This episode won't come out until a little bit further into August. But
it says 2 weeks as of August 11th. When did it start? Do you recall?
Ooh, I would say maybe August 5th.
The event will run
5th.
From August 11th to August 24th.
Okay, so you guys have till the 24th.
That's literally what you guessed. That's
yeah,
pretty good.
I thought it was the 24th or the 26th.
I'm impressed.
So if you, and I'm just saying, if you play League, if you have played League, but you never don't really want to get into it because it's too difficult or whatever, honestly, Earth is like the newcomer's mode. It's only around every once in
and
a while.
And League is free.
Yeah. It'll take about 4 years to download because it's so big. Guys, let's move from a MOBA that people know all about to a MOBA that Tyler got banned from for downloading gold. Which, all right, now that I've played this game, I don't understand how you're banned for buying gold because there's no fucking
gold.
There's no.
He probably bought RAM. He probably downloaded RAM.
Yeah, I've heard if you go on the dark net, you can download hard drives and then you just get all the space. I
actually need to go back to the dark net. Last time I bought dark milk and eggs. They were expired, so I need to take my dark receipt back to the dark store. And I hate doing that. It's all the way across town.
Welcome to the dark store, sir. Oh, these are expired. I'm really upset. I'm sorry. Would you like free access to drugs?
They do have a double dark refund guarantee where when you return things, they give you
double dark refund.
Money and a new product. So they give you money back and the new dark product, whatever.
Well, that was a good bit. I'm glad we did that. Let's move on to Gigantic. Gigantic is a game that is, first off, it's crossplay, which is really awesome. Meaning if you have a Windows 10 PC, you can download on there. You can play with people on Xbox.
Wait. Are you telling me that I can play even though I'm banned on PC?
Yeah, man. You can play. So if you have an Xbox, what this means is that you can do what I do, which is get on Discord with your friends who are playing on PC and then hop into Xbox One lobbies and just watch them demolish everybody. Because it's truly unfair to watch a PC player play against a Xbox One player. Let's do this. Kevin.
Matt.
Once upon a time, you had a bit. We're revitalizing that bit right now for the new listeners. Tell me what Gigantic is in 10 words or less.
Oh, man, I forgot about this bit.
Yeah, this is a bit that we've done for a while, but we haven't done for a while. Probably ever since, I would say, this week in Japan when we started that. Like, we haven't done 10 words, jeez, probably in like 15 episodes.
Quick question.
Yeah?
Does MOBA count as one word or four?
Yeah, MOBA's one word.
Okay.
It's an acronym. I'm okay with it. Kevin's diddling with something. So
sorry,
it's okay. While he diddles, I'll entertain you.
Okay, I'm here.
that was an original. Thank you. That was a cover.
Cartoony MOBA.
Yeah. Wait, what music do you want for this?
The Yoshi's Island castle theme.
That's what's happening now.
Doesn't make any sense. Sure. Okay. I was just going to say the Tetris theme, but that's fine.
Now I got to change it.
Can you remix those?
That's way too much work, guys, for how much work I have to do this week. All right, Cartoony MOBA.
Cartoony MOBA.
Yep.
Familiar cast.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting concept.
Four more. Ooh.
Kill all your friends.
Yeah, dude, you do want to kill all your friends, especially when they suck at Gigantic. I'm just kidding.
I would like to lobby to replace those last four words. Not very well executed.
Okay.
I disagree. He's just salty because he downloaded gold.
I don't
what does
know.
That mean?
Oh yeah, he downloaded Gold and got banned. Oh, that's we're doing that joke again.
Right.
Which is it's not actually a joke. Okay, Gigantic is like League of Legends. It's objective based, but it's not like this top down thing. It's very much a third person shooter. You just have different abilities per your different characters. How many characters are there? Like 15, 16? Maybe 12?
I don't know. But they all seem inspired by other 18. Games.
Yeah, yeah, that's the thing, is that a lot of these things you can play, like, I don't even call Margrave, I call him Malphite sometimes, because he just looks like a big dude from League of Legends. It's you take a bunch of characters and you kind of, like Kevin said, mix-mash them from, like, Dota and stuff, and mix their kits together, and then instead of, like, taking down towers and pushing things, it's kind of plays like a Territories.
You guys have had a little bit more experience with this game than I have. How's the balancing?
Oh god, it's terrible. Yeah. The whole reason I love playing that game is because it's in this early stage where people have played, but if you don't play a game like League of Legends or Dota, the whole intricacies of kit building and, you know, where you're going to sleep because you live in your mom's basement and you're that was a joke. That's Basement Dwellers, League of Legends. So that one didn't hit very well.
Exactly.
I apologize. 20. All right, so the the balancing is okay. With Gigantic, there's different trees where you can build, like, oh, I'm going to upgrade my W skill, and then you upgrade it one other way. And if you play League of Legends or Dota, it's really easy to figure out what kind of stuff is super overpowered. If you don't, you're just going to go with what's most like, ooh, I'm going to do the more damage or the more healing.
Mm-hmm.
For example, the Margrave is actually his name. I have this thing where I can just rush in and then pounce on them and, like, CC them, which is crowd control, for, like, 20 years. And he also has a damage output that is ridiculous. I'm sure balancing will come, mm-hmm. but right now, it's about as unbalanced as remember when you were a kid and you were, like, trying to run across the pool floaties in your pool? And
nope.
That's how
you
I'm...
You were not balanced?
That's
right,
how
I get it.
You were Imba.
Yeah, I was...
It's a word. Remember how you told me what inting was the other day?
Yes.
Yeah, Imba is another one of those.
I don't know that one.
Imba is short for imbalanced.
Imbalanced.
Make me feel bad for it.
It's actually Razer. You know Razer, the company Razer.
Oh, they make the mouses.
They made scooters.
Their little, yeah, the scooter company. Their slogan is Get Imba.
I thought their slogan was Watch Your Shins.
Jeff's Extreme Scooter.
Yeah, I saw that shit.
Yes.
It was so funny.
Was that a Kotaku? It was like, I don't know what so. This game is, but the soundtrack's going to be amazing. Yeah,
I think it was funnier or dying.
Dumbass kid on a scooter.
All I wanted to say about Gigantic was it's been fun. It's free to play.
Yeah.
As you play games, win or lose, you do challenges, you unlock these crowns, the crowns points, and then you can use them to get skill or skins or new characters. You don't have to spend money on this game if you don't want to. If you don't like it, try it out. And it's whatever, you know. If you do
just
like it, it's
please,
free.
Please, 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 please remember, no matter how
the Titans
bad the game gets, don't download Gold.
Yeah, you don't want to, because we had a friend who downloaded Gold.
And
what was his name?
It's such a tragic story.
That poor kid.
Oh, you knew
I
him too.
That story.
Rip Tyler.
Yep.
Vietnam flashback to fucking the Gigantic developers. Like, there's bombs coming in. Like, you downloaded all of our Gold
you guys
for the
remember
game.
My game of the year from last year.
Stardew Valley.
Yep, I bought another copy today.
Oh, did
yeah.
you?
Yeah, I'm really hoping. I don't know if this is for certain or not. Well, for one, I do know that they're going to be implementing the multiplayer in August.
Yeah.
But I did find out that it's not console based. Like, you can't play two people on one console.
No, no, it's like online, I think.
Correct.
I thought we talked about that.
Yeah, we did last week, but it wasn't like very.
Well, I bought a console copy today, hoping that maybe the Play Anywhere will allow me to play on my PC while Rachel plays on the Xbox.
This is a good jump from Gigantic, because Gigantic is also Play Anywhere,
right?
But the games that are Play Anywhere, which is this Xbox Microsoft thing, are not necessarily all crossplay.
Gotcha.
It's completely down to the developer.
Well, I hope they do.
Yes,
yeah. they have it on a lot of platforms now. It'd be really kind of a bummer if they, you know,
didn't
pigeonhole it to, like,
implement that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Here's something I'll just say about Stardew, unless you had anything more to say about it.
No,
is that I was at the video rental store the other day. We do here have a video rental store, okay? Believe it or not, it's not just a box that's red that you walk up to and wait in line for 4 hours because this guy in front of you doesn't decide if he wants to get fucking Live Free or Die Hard or Bruce wow. Willis's newest movie that sucks. What is that one that's in the theaters now? It's got like a 3% of Rotten Tomatoes.
Breaking.
Yep, that's the one. I completely lost my train of thought. But Stardew Valley, as I regain it, I was in the video rental store, and I was like looking at games, and I wasn't really going to rent anything. But the Stardew Valley box cover, the cover art, really did catch my eye. Because there's nothing that's quite as
it's
like,
right there.
It's you guys can't see it, but I'll do my best to describe it for you in an ASMR.
It's just it's very bucolic.
It's very bucolic. Includes Pelican Town map, mini guidebook, and Stardew Valley soundtrack.
Why are you saying it like that? That sounds like a
505 Games brings you the terror that you can never have on the farm. It's actually a really cute game.
Bad.
That wasn't the game. The game is very cute. It's like Harvest Moon.
It's so good.
If Harvest Moon fucked Animal Crossing.
It's so good.
And they had a baby about beating up things in like caves. Guys, I know you've been waiting for this. You really want this. Tacoma.
What even is?
Look, dude, I can't tell you about Toyotas if you don't know about them.
No, it's the thing that when you go to Steak and Shake and you want to order to go.
Tacoma. You fucking piece
Tacoma
of shit.
Tacoma sack is what
they're
it's
like. They're like, excuse me, would you like a Tacoma box?
No, they're. You're like, hi, can I place a carryout order? And they're like, you mean Tacoma sack?
Tacoma is like, a game where you ever play Gone Home?
I think you mean Gone Homa.
Yeah, Gone Homa. Have you ever played Gone Homa? No. Either of you? So Gone Homa is made by the developers of Tacoma. It's actually called Gone Home. It's a game. It's about you're in a house and you're looking for your family. And it kind of birthed this whole walking simulator genre. So now the creators are back at the helm with Tacoma, which
back
is
again with another hit.
Keep it going.
It's the guys who brought you the game where your family abandoned you and doesn't love you anymore and left you notes telling you why. Damn it, Karen, why don't you flush? You need to clean the pans after you're done cooking.
Okay, is this one a Gone Home?
Yeah. Yes.
All right, now you give me a beat.
Okay.
Just anything. This is about Tacoma. Oh, very close. Give me some more basic. Let's go. So you're on a space station, there's crew that's missing. You gotta go to the bathroom, now you're pissing on all of these recordings.
Okay, this sucks so much.
No. So
I was enjoying it, that was fun.
You're a person, you go up to a space station, you're looking for this crew that is kind of missing on the space station.
Did you eat them?
No, okay. But you don't have to go to the bathroom at all, which really irks me quite a bit. Like, there's a lot of bathrooms that I want
to
use.
There's a lot of games where you don't have to go to the bathroom.
Yeah. Like, I don't know.
Like Soda Drinker Pro?
Oh my god.
That is like the game where you have to go to the bathroom. And it's the most likely game where they would implement a pissing mechanic.
Oh my god. Dude,
you could just take that one for free. I'll hit that guy up on Twitter.
Oh.
You should.
The only game I can really think of that features going to the bathroom is like South Park 64.
Duke Nukem Forever. Speaking of South Park, I can't wait for the new one. But okay, Tacoma. Real quick, guys. you're a person, you work for this company, you're supposed to go retrieve this data. It's on the space station.
And you don't eat the humans.
No, you don't. On the space station, you put on these AR earbuds and kind of gives you like this augmented reality desktop. The space station also records the movements and conversations of everybody on it. The crew is just six people, but that's how you can see what's happened. You'll go into these different areas of the space station. You'll see a hologram play out and the characters will talk amongst themselves, usually branch off. And then it's up to you to decide who you want to follow, whose stories you want to investigate. I won't really talk about the game anymore because it's pretty brief, 2 to 3 hours.
It's kind of new.
The thing that's interesting about it is that there is a very big overarching storyline about, what happened on the space station, all that kind of stuff. But what really grabs you is the interpersonal stories of each person, because when I first started the game, I referred to them as, oh, there's the red hologram person or the blue hologram person. And very quickly I was like, blue is Sarah, red is I forgot already. But
Isaac.
Exactly. But these people all have really, really deep...
Sorry, I just made a headcanon where Tacoma is a prequel to Dead Space.
Dude, actually, no. Nah, it doesn't get that creepy. No. I don't want to spoil it, but Tacoma's great. If you're one of those people who liked a game like Gone Home, like What Remains of Edith Finch, Firewatch, it's a little bit less interactive than that. It's more of a guided story, but it's a good one. It's a good one. Tyler, what's
now,
up?
Can I go off on my own and explore my own backstory?
Yeah, go for it.
Is that that's the thing I can do in Tacoma?
No, it's actually not. You play as a person, But they don't really tell you much about... It's kind of like that whole Halo Man. Like, Halo Man is Halo Man, but he's also you.
Master
That's why
Chef.
He doesn't... Yeah, Master Chef. He's the best at cooking up the Covenant.
Master Chef.
Speaking of Master Chef.
Yeah, keep it going.
Yeah.
Let's just... This is how we do it at SGC 64,
guys. Did we guys talk about Overcooked?
Yeah, you know what?
I still played it.
Okay, I'll talk about Overcooked
Oh my god, it's so much fun. I love it.
Overcooked is a game that came out a while ago.
Except I hate it.
Yeah, that's
it. Yeah, no, it's bad.
Saw that one coming.
No, it's a pretty good game. Overcooked is a 1-4 player game where it's about co-op cooking. You cook in many wild environments. You cook things like fish and chips. You cook things like a burger.
Are you guys aware that you can do that
in real life? Oh, yes. Cool. But the thing is you can't do that while your kitchen breaks in half and lava pours in and, like, all that kind of stuff.
That doesn't happen to you guys?
And here's the thing, too. If you get really mad at your friends or significant others for no reason in real life, it's known as domestic violence. In Overcooked, it's just how the game works, you know?
Right.
It's kind of like Mario Party. Like, if you play Mario Party with your friends...
it's only virtual violence.
Yeah, it's virtual violence.
It's like a teen rating.
Yeah. No, well...
Not even. Pretty sure it's everyone.
Anyways, Kevin, you haven't played Overcooked.
I haven't.
Rage for everyone.
I beat it last night with my beautiful and loving girlfriend, Sabrina. This is now the second game she's beaten this year, which is probably like the fourth
game
in her life.
To me.
She is.
One more than me, I think. No.
She did Edith Finch, which is like a 2-hour game, and then we did Overcooked over a large period of time. I didn't play the DLC. Kevin, you didn't play at all. I recommend you play it with Rachel. It's a good time.
Do you think they'll make a sequel called Underbaked?
No. You know what? They could make a sequel. I'm taking this as it was originally a joke. Haha, I laughed. But yes, they would
totally
be,
could make a bake.
They could make a sequel very much because in the game itself, you only cook like maybe 5 or 6 dishes. It's spread out kind of like a world map, but there's many things they could, you know, I'm sure Overcooked will have a sequel and it'll be dope. Tyler, how far have you gotten? Do you remember?
About halfway through World 2, so I haven't really made that many recipes.
Is 2 the ice one or is that 3?
2 is the one.
Desert.
Where you learn about the mice that come take your food.
That's not a thing. That's just for like that level. Just so you know.
Oh.
You really don't have to worry about that.
Oh, good. So just that level.
It's just that level.
I also don't want to bring a pallor over the show.
Yeah.
I think it's worth mentioning. This is also the game that sort of sparked the big controversy that's been happening in the gaming world recently.
Yeah, go for it.
That's fine.
Let's just do this real quick.
It's worth acknowledging.
Yeah, it's real quick. Let's finish off the talk on Undercooked first. Undercooked. You won't get salmonella because this game is just right. I don't fucking know.
It's well done.
It's a great game.
Come on. Well done?
It's a food pun.
Because it's Overcooked?
Here's what I'll tell you.
Here's the best part about Overcooked.
Fucker.
It's true to the statement that there are too many cooks in the kitchen. Here's the bad part about Overcooked.
You don't
get to eat any of it.
That is true. Here's also the bad part about Overcooked is it's like 1-4 players. One player, garbage. You have to control like 2 people at once.
And it's hard.
More like Overcooked.
Yeah. Overcooked. You can play with 2 players. That's the best. Some levels you'd want a 3rd player. 4 players, don't even think about it. It's so annoying because you're going to have to coordinate. So it's hard enough to coordinate between 2 people. It's not even worth it to go 4, in my opinion. It's fun for like some craziness, but if you're actually trying to beat that story, you ain't doing it unless you have like a good partner. Have we said everything we want to before we dip into this?
We don't even
bullshit.
Have to go on about it. It's just worth acknowledging.
Yeah.
As games journalists, it's important to note.
Oh, BTW, real quick. I do have a full review of Tacoma up on 90sKid.com.
Speaking of, I recently jumped on board with a 90sKid.com as well.
Welcome to the team, Kevin.
Thank you.
No problem. Yeah. He's been doing a good job. He's doing some edits. You might see a few of his articles. He'll link it. We'll put it on the Super Gamecast 64 Facebook, as always. And if you check our Twitter, which will be at the end of the show, I post that stuff there. Tyler.
Here's an interesting fact.
Yeah.
You will not see my name on any of those articles.
Well, maybe one time you'll do like a guest feature one. You know,
I mean, you can interview me and I'll, like, you could put my name on it, but it won't be ever by me.
No. Me and Kevin are the writers.
I'm not a writer.
Tyler's the lover.
I'm a jokeman.
He's a lover, not a writer.
He's a lover. Speaking of people who wish they were lovers but are actually giant pieces of scummy shit and I hate their guts.
Here we go.
Whoa. Nelly.
Huh?
What?
All right, let's talk about what happened with Overcooked. It's like not even Overcooked. It's Overcooked adjacent.
It really is only related to Overcooked in that was the spark that ignited the flame.
Yeah, you do it, Kevin.
So,
I'm like I'm kind of tilted about this whole thing.
I'm very very undereducated about the whole thing, so just fill me in where I'm missing spots.
Yeah, go for it.
So
it's fine.
So basically, Nick Robinson
of Polygon fame.
Yes.
Carboys.
He's done a lot of the video production with Griffin and some of the other people over at Polygon.
He's a video editor. He's correct. Like the main video editor for Polygon. If yes. you don't read Polygon, you'd know him from Griffin and his Carboys. They also did a podcast called I think the best
cool
game.
Games, Inc.
Cool Games Inc. Yep. He was
Touch the Skyrim.
Touch
like
the Skyrim.
That.
He was an integral member of the Polygon team, which we all love very much.
Absolutely. So long story short, he got into a bit of a tiff with the Overcooked devs and
over something stupid,
really really dumb.
It was like
really
a patch on the Switch version,
and he said some really uncharacteristically aggressive things to this yeah. dev, and some journalist from the industry mentioned something about how maybe he could throw in and help with the patches if he weren't so busy sliding into every girl in game journalism's DMs.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, this is something that is
on
just...
on Twitter.
Yeah, it's on Twitter. It's an underhanded... not underhanded. I don't... I'm gonna choose no words.
That's pretty overhanded.
It's not unoften you hear of somebody like, stop
it's
sliding into my DMs.
It's not uncommon.
You know, or, hey, slide into my DM. Like, people do that. But then... after this one person said it, it was like a torrential downpour of
all of a sudden people
Kotaku journalists, like people from big sites.
Yeah.
Essentially, just Nick, whether or not he was socially awkward, completely knew what he was doing, I fully believe that he knew he was being creepy and abusing his power, would just try to hit on women unprovoked by going and trying to private message them on Twitter. Like, yeah, guys, we understand in this world with Tinder and Twitter and DMs and Instagram direct, all this stuff, like Snapchat, yeah, there's a lot of sexuality on the internet. It's become pretty adjacent to most social media. But when you're a person in the public eye, you're young, your brother is Porter Robinson, right? Like, the EDM, like, what are you doing? The kid literally, and here's the thing, is it's a lot of accusations. It's not like this dude sent pictures of his wang to people.
And this is one of those situations where it's really untoward to ask for confirmation because of how sensitive the subject is.
You don't
want
to go up to somebody and be like, tell me more about, validate your sexual harassment.
Yeah, exactly.
But when literally like 20 or 30 women from the games industry are like, yeah, this guy is just a creep.
It becomes less likely that it's just a crusade and more likely that really the situation is as dire as it sounds.
And what happened very quickly was Polygon was like, hey, we're going to do a full inquiry through Vox Media, which is the company that owns Polygon. Maybe I'm wrong on that. Griffin and most of the McElroys were like, yeah,
just went dark for the
we're taking it off. He has now been fired. He issued an apology, which is a bunch of shit because only... He's a slimy dude. Like, it's just gross. And maybe, like, for a while, he was kind of not his shtick, but, like, you could see it from him. Because he's kind of, like, quieter a little bit.
He plays that role.
I feel like he's the wounded animal.
Yes.
Like, I feel like he's going to try to play that for his entire life. And, like, here's the thing, guys. It don't matter who you are, what website you write for, how popular you are. If you sexually harass people, whether it's a woman, a man, anybody at all, unrequited, like... propositions for dating, flirting, don't bug people. Stop.
Yeah, just leave people hell alone.
So if anything, use Nick's story as a warning of don't bother people if they don't want to talk to you, and don't assume because you write for Polygon.com that you're hot shit. You're not, kid.
I also want to bring up the fact that Polygon handled this very professionally.
Oh,
yeah. They are consummate professionals. Everybody that works for them really did a great job of, like, taking the time to understand the situation. You know, one of the things I really admired was how, you know, specifically Griffin mentioned, you know, this is happening in real time for a lot of people.
Like, yeah.
Treat it with sensitivity. You know, it just was handled very well. It's really impressive.
It struck me, and this is the last thing I'll say on it before we move on to more games, is it struck me mostly because I write for websites, and immediately was thought of a few of our women who work on the site. Like, if somebody was sliding into Misha's DMs, Misha Crossing, she also writes for A Nice Kid, I messaged her, like, right after I found this, and I'm like, if anybody ever does that, please tell me and our boss so we can, you know, bring them down. Like, don't hide this stuff ever. That's the biggest thing that you see is people don't acknowledge it happening. And for somebody who works within the industry and knows a lot of women in the industry, it's like, wow, let's not. So instead of sandbagging the rest of the show, you know what? No, let's move on. It's almost as bad as what just happened. That's a joke I shouldn't make. Mega Man Legacy Collection 2.
You just invalidate everything you just said.
No. Seriously, Mega Man Collection is bad. Nick Robinson is way, way worse. But Mega Man Legacy Collection 2. Tyler.
Yes, Matthew.
You're the only person I know who likes Mega Man as much as I.
Thank you.
Mega Man Legacy Collection 2 released to $20. It has four games. Mm. Mega Man 7, 8, 9, and 10. 7 and 8 were on NES, or SNES, Sega Saturn. 9 and 10 were later released in the late 2000s, or mid-2000s on Xbox 360, PS3. How do you feel about paying $20 for Mega Man 7 and 8?
Bad, Matt.
Do you not like 7 and 8?
I like the sub-characters that came out of 7 and 8.
Yeah.
That's about it.
7 and 8 are really not good. That's a lie. They're decent. They're just not what you've come to expect, especially after, like, the numbered series.
Right.
So that's already, like, a kick in the nuts. You're not getting a Mega Man X collection. You're not getting anything
that's all I want.
Like, 7 and 8...
I still only like the X collection.
So well, the X collection is good, and when you see Mega Man Legacy Collection 2, I understand they want to finish off with the numbered series, because there is 1 through 10. Sure. But 7 and 8 are not worth it. And then 9 and 10, you can already play on your 360 or your Xbox One as they are, because right. they're backwards compatible. The thing isn't the games themselves. The thing about Mega Man Legacy Collection 2 is that they've gutted a lot of the charm, a lot of the heart, and the fun nostalgia and retro-ness you pulled from like the menus of the first. The museum stuff, I might have said earlier to you that it was not there. It is. It's just a bunch of like filtered concept art, kind of the same stuff that was in Mega Man Legacy Collection 1. You know, you have boss designs that weren't used in level art and stuff like that, and it's you just scroll through it. My main issue is that they've taken out a lot of the accessibility options. You have somebody who's new to Mega Man. They don't want to deal with NES checkpoints, so Capcom, or not Capcom, it wasn't Capcom who made the first Legacy Collection, but the people who did were like, hey, we'll put in save states. You press this button to save, then you press this button to load. You die, no big deal, life goes on. They didn't do that in the Disney Afternoon Collection. They used a rewind feature. Still good. Gets the same thing done.
I really like that in, what was the Rare
Replay? Rare Replay. Yeah, yeah. The idea that you could just, oh, I died. I'll rewind a little bit. No big deal. No one cares. These are games that are 20 years old. They're brutally difficult. It's right. Okay. Mega Man Legacy Collection 2, none of that. There is a checkpoint system, which you basically uses the normal checkpoints you'd have in the Mega Man games, you know, at the beginning of level, middle of a level, after mini-boss. All this does for you is... say you lose all your lives. You can hit load checkpoint and now you have your lives back. But as far as getting over difficult platforming sections, which 7 and 8 have a ton of that are just stupid dumb for no reason.
Right.
9 especially as well. Yeah,
too
no.
Too bad you can't hit rewind and get your life back.
No, you can't. You can hit load checkpoint save.
Wow.
There's no designation. You can only save a checkpoint in certain designated areas, but it doesn't tell you where. You have to figure it out or just notice when it says saving in the bottom left corner.
So you're telling me that when we went from devs at Backbone Entertainment...
To Capcom themselves. They screwed the pooch.
How do you take...
It's the same thing...
Chaboy.
We're not going to talk about it this episode. We're talking about it next episode because I haven't played it too much yet. But Sonic Mania is a game that's made... not by the people who made Sonic, but people who really like Sonic.
I heard it's dope, too.
It's very good from under.
Really good.
Video Game Donkey gave it a 5 out of 5, yeah. Which is, I don't think he's given a game a 5 out of 5 in like a year and a half. But what we're seeing is the people who made these games are not the people who are still at the company. The people who made Mega Man 7 and 8 are not sitting in the dev room at Capcom right now. They're somewhere else. So you have people that are just repurposing their own franchises instead of giving it to a developer that might really like the series, might give it that charm. Besides the fact that the accessibility stuff is garbage, there's no save points, there was challenges in the first one.
Right.
You take different Mega Man elements, different pieces from different games.
Interestingly crafted.
Kind of like an NES remix.
Yeah.
Almost. Yeah, yeah, no.
Just for Mega Man.
Mega Man 7, 8, 9, and 10 all have their own challenges. There's maybe 10 apiece. I didn't really scroll that far. Most of them are just like, the first one I played was Mega Man 7, and you just played through different sections of a level, and then you were done. I beat it in 4 minutes, but nothing was different.
You do that in the regular game. Why would you bother doing it?
And the challenges in the first game were different. They would split it up. Maybe you have like a boss rush, which is cool, but the challenges aren't challenges. They're just replaying sections of the game in an order. There's nothing interestingly crafted about it. And what happens with this is it makes it hard for me to recommend or not recommend, because at their core, 7 and 8 are okay Mega Man games. They're not trash, but compared to the rest of the series, they're not very good. 9 and 10 are dope. They're really good. They're hard, but they're really good.
Yeah, I agree.
The games are good. The container is garbage. It's like opening a rusty lockbox and then finding, you know, four SNES games. You're like, oh, sweet, good games. But this cart is garbage. Go.
Like, the only reason I could see spending the $20 on this game is if you didn't have 9 and 10 and you wanted to complete your Mega Man collection.
Exactly. If you already have 9 and 10, just replay it. I think they're backwards compatible on Xbox One.
I didn't even buy the first Legacy collection.
It's great.
I don't think.
It's okay.
I'm sure it is, but like I borrowed it from somebody and I played a little bit and I was happy.
You've already played them. Yeah.
Yeah, I've beaten the hell out of Mega Man 3. I could tell you which way to go, wherever you are. You just give me a small pixel, and I'll tell you where you are at.
So Mega Man Legacy Collection 2, maybe for newcomers, but just be aware the accessibility is not there if you play the first one. For those who have played the series, if you want it, I mean, you'll like it if you really love Mega Man. If you already own the games and you don't really need a reason to purchase again, there's no extra reasons. Real quick, before we go on to ad break, because we're about 40 minutes deep. This is a game we were supposed to talk about last time, we forgot. We all played it a little bit.
You know, Matt, I'm sorry to cut you off, but you're a lily-livered pansy, and your hat looks like your face.
Your mother was born in an ant-infested banana sack, you twat.
Your hat looks like your glasses.
Your hat.
Your hat looks like your hat.
We're talking about... Oh, no! Or no, oh, sir!
Oh, sir!
Oh, sir, the insult simulator. this is a game...
It really is good. Oh, it's the best... It's the first fighting game I've ever been good at.
Oh, sir, the insult simulator is a game where it's a one-on-one insult battle.
Yes.
You could choose from different amounts of characters. They all have their own weaknesses. Maybe the old man isn't as stylish or not as up to modern technology. You could play a one-player versus mode. You can go online with it. It's not like the game is super deep.
No,
it right?
Really
it's not like it's super complex. There's a little bit of strategy to it. It's just so damn charming.
It's so fun.
It's
you string together sentences.
Yeah.
To create insults. You are given, you know, verbs and adjectives and prepositions.
If you run out, you can take a sip from your tea, and then you have some pocket aces you throw at them.
Yeah, yeah, and you have a couple that are unique to your character, at least your side, that you can kind of throw in there to really, really cut deep. But
and there's different areas, like the one that we played a versus match on. There's just like a dead dude in the middle of the woods,
their teacups on his hands,
and he's like, "Did you kill this man?" And the guy's like, "No, I was in the bushes." And he's like, "Your mother looks like a hamster." And it's like, "Oh, fuck you, asshole!" And then you just go back and forth, and like you have health bars.
Yeah, he doesn't say fuck you.
No, it's very, and that's the idea, is that it's very
proper, tasteful, gentleman.
It's posh.
It is.
It's posh.
Yeah.
And then when you
watch... Stiff upper lip and all that.
Yeah, so the insults that... If you could type out insults, they wouldn't be as good
because
they're just so over-elaborate.
If you could type out the insult, this would be Call of Duty.
Yeah, no, it'd be... just go play Call of Duty. Yeah, this game is great. It's Kevin, what's your favorite part about it, I would say? Because there's the art style is also really cool. It's kind of like this fragmented, cel-shaded.
I really like that you're pulling from the same list. So if you have an insult already crafted in your head, and then your opponent takes the particular structure piece of sentence that you wanted to use, you really have to kind of recreate it on the fly. And so you end up with these really dumbass insults, like, your hat looks like your face, or something like that, when you were trying to be like, your hat looks like your mother, or something, you know, and the little pocket aces, like you were talking about, are a
yeah,
lot
yeah,
of fun.
Yeah.
Just crafting a really long sentence that just completely tanks your opponent is really fun.
I just want to talk about it, because it's a small game, it's fun, a lot of it I just want you guys to experience for yourself. This game is developed by Vile Monarch, it's published by Gambitious Digital Entertainment. You can get it on Steam for $2. You can get it on Xbox for, I think, 3 or 4.
It's
PlayStation
really
4. You can get it on your phone if you're a mobile player for, I believe, $2.50 on the Google Play Store.
I think it was on the Humble Bundle this past
couple There was a
weeks,
new Humble Bundle, yeah.
And it was like the $4 mark.
I mean, it's not a very expensive game. It's just one of those ones, if you maybe play like Jackbox, you just something silly to turn on at a party, or like, you know, when you're hanging out with your friends. With that, we're at 45 minutes. Let's go. Pokemon noise.
Pokemon noise.
Nice. audibletrial.com/SGC64. You can choose any audiobook that you would like. Get it. If you don't like the service, you go ahead and download it. You keep the audiobook. Guys, I spent a lot of audiobook credits at my Audible just recently. I have two suggestions. Tyler, I believe we both purchased one of the same.
No, we didn't.
You didn't get Armada?
No.
Okay. Well, I got Armada, which is the next book by Ernest Cline.
You guys really liked Ready Player One, didn't you?
Yeah. Well,
I really didn't read it yet.
I like the pop culture of it. There's a very specific style to Ernest Cline's writing that is you can't find anywhere else. Then when I was looking at that, I found out that Will Wheaton, who also did the Ready Player One book, did that. And I was like, you know what? Will Wheaton is probably one of my favorite audiobook readers. So I just clicked on Audible where it says More by Will Wheaton, which you can do by reader if you like a specific.
It's probably my favorite part.
I have a really good friend who absolutely despises Will Wheaton.
Hey, man, I can understand. Like, I have a friend who really doesn't like Chris Hardwick a lot. But I,
oh man,
you know, like, yeah, the Nerdist guy is Chris Hardwick.
Yeah,
right? Yeah, like, absolutely despises him.
Oh, that would kill me.
Yeah, right. But it's okay. Will Wheaton, he's super cute. But Will Wheaton also super cute guy. He also,
just a real cutie.
Yeah, I love him. Audible.com/Will Wheaton's face. You, it's not. I downloaded this this book. It's called Masters of Doom by I believe David Kushner. Yeah. And it's it's Will Wheaton done. It's all about how John Romero and John Carmack met together, made Commander Keen, worked for Apogee, eventually made Doom, the game that is the grandfather. Well, also made Wolfenstein 3D. But it's all about how they moved. They had their whole entire crew. I like it because they have this long chapter about their D&D campaign. And I won't spoil it, but John Carmack, who is the DM, had a very interesting way of testing John Romero's, let's say, childish attitude as development went into Doom. It's very good. There's more games if you're a fan of video games. There's more books if you're a fan of video games that you can listen to. The Ultimate History of Video Games, like I said, Masters of Doom. There's a sequel to that as well. Guys, let's throw out some fiction here. Besides Armada by Ernest Cline, things that are nerd adjacent.
If you're looking for something that is Ready Player One, but not Armada, you should check out The Punch Escrow by Tal M. Klein.
You're going to have to send that to me because I really want to.
You got it, buddy.
Yeah, yeah.
It's basically the same kind of thing, but a different
I've
story.
Also heard Damon or Demon by this other dude is much like Ready Player One. This is the thing, is that Audible, if you sign up for Audible, audibletrial.com/SGC64, and you enjoy the service, every month they charge you $15, but you get to choose an audiobook.
I've heard that one book, Tyler, help me out here. The Wizard's book.
The Wizard's Guide to College.
Nope, the one that the guy came out with not too long ago.
The guy, yeah.
There's a TV show of now.
Ooh, American Gods.
Wizards, I think, or something.
Magicians.
That's the one. Apparently a lot of people who like Ready Player One also like The Magicians.
I don't know that people... I don't see that correlation.
Hey, it's okay. Here's the thing. You can try it for free. You can try any audiobook you want for free. Like I said, if you enjoy the service, you can keep it going. They'll just bill you every month for $15, and then you get a free audiobook. Well, you get an audiobook worth any price.
I have been reading Norse Mythology by Neil Gaiman.
It's a good time.
Almost all of his books that are on Audible are also read by him. If you've never heard him read, it is magical.
I got Stephen King's On Writing, which is read by Stephen King.
Oh, that's such a great book.
Excellent. But like I said, they charge you $15, but a lot of these books can be upwards of $40 or $50. One of the ones I purchased, I think not Masters of Doom, but one of them was like $40 or $50. And then if you don't like the audiobook, you don't like the service, of course you're not going to get charged. audibletrial.com/SGC64 gets you a free audiobook. If you don't like it, you can cancel the service. Before we go back to the show, Tyler,
There is a sale, believe it or not, on audible.com right now. That one credit that you'll get from us, you can apply it to get two books for the price of one.
Are you
right now? Now this,
you shut your mouth.
This list is limited.
Okay, good, because I was like, really wish I didn't spend all my Audible credits at once.
Yeah, I said the same thing, and I was looking through this list, and it's not like the best list. It's not like a good curated list. This list,
it's got some stuff though.
There is a Brent Weeks book on there that I got.
So there is some stuff that you might want.
The Way of Shadows. and Steelheart by Brandon Sanderson. So now I have those.
Dude, The Way of Shadows is a really great series.
You know what else is great?
That's a 21-hour book,
it's
man.
It's Night Angel. That's a freaking great series.
Super Gamecast 64 is also great. So, thank you, Audible. We're going to hop off of this ad. Once again, audibletrial.com/SGC64. Get yourself a book. Maybe you're a moviegoer. It is coming out soon. Ready Player One is next year. There's tons of superhero movies.
Get you some Joe Hill.
Get you some of that knowledge. Back to the show. Thanks, Audible. Guys, we're back. Real quick, Telltale's Batman. I played all of season one. Why, Dan? Dan actually played this. He's one of the biggest Batman fans I know. I played the first season.
Batman fan.
What did you think of it, Dan?
Dan also thought what I thought, which is shit. It's really bad. Season one is not good. Just skip it. It's like the people who made this Telltale Games at Telltale Games on Twitter forgot that it's called Batman and not Bruce Wayne. So when you think of Telltale Games, which are, if you don't know, adventure games that
you can't just give away his identity like that.
Sorry, fuck. That's the whole idea. One cannot exist without the other. I do have a full review of the first episode of season two up, but the first season and it's five episodes. When you think of Telltale Games, you think about these rough choices you have to make. You know, whether or not you kill someone or let someone go, whether or not you kill them or put them in prison, and things like Walking Dead. In Batman season one, it's like
choose between baked Alaska and creme brulee.
It's like do you still give Harvey Dent money for his political campaign even though he was a dick? And I'm like, I should be killing people or close to killing people as Batman. Batman season two.
Do you even know what a Batman is?
Right. That's what he's saying, Kev. I mean,
okay, last time Batman was on the TV screen or movie screen, he killed people. So I just want to say,
I'm counting on it.
Justice League in theaters this year, maybe. Telltale's Batman season two is cool because it takes all the boring stuff about the first season, kind of puts it to the wayside, makes Batman the center stage, and also complaints I had about the first season was that Harvey Dent was more like a big muscly guy who took too much muscle milk than Two-Face. Penguin was not fat or short. He was tall and lanky and generally a piece of shit. These characters didn't really align with who they were. Then you have season two. It's got the Riddler.
Is it Jim Carrey?
It's like if Jim Carrey is mixed with mother effing Jigsaw from the Saw series.
Oh, God.
He literally puts people in death traps like Jigsaw does, but instead of like, you touched a little boy, so now you gotta take off all of your hands or you get your life. Like some moral lesson. It's like, riddle me this. What's black and white and red all over? Oh, wrong answer. Your finger got chopped off. Like, that is what it is, and it's really cool.
I'm going to start a petition.
It's really cool?
The story is violent. It's dark. It feels like what Batman should be, not politics and garbage talking about your feelings all the time. And like that's they do it so overhanded in season one. Season two just gets to that good Batman action.
I'm going to start a petition to bring back the SNES Batman video game.
Batman Forever.
That was a great
game. The one where you punch really fast and you can punch down. Starts off in
the one with like it was borderline FMV in it.
That's
like,
the one I'm talking about. Yeah, you go it's a side scroller and there's like goons you beat up and then like the Riddler. You start off in like a prison.
Yep.
Yeah. In that game, if you punch, he just like he punches really fast. And then if you press down and punch, he punches down really fast and looks like he's like doing a little jig. I remember that game because there is a circus level that I really suck hard. At. Yeah. Telltale Batman season two episode one, The Enigma. Can be purchased for $5. The whole entire season is $25. You can get an Xbox One, PS4, or PC. Edward Nigma. He is the Riddler. You can get that. I don't know if the whole season will be good. All I know is that the first season, or the first episode of the second season, I gave it an 8.5. You can reach I can't talk anymore. You can read my full review at a90skid.com. But that's all I wanted to say on it.
Looks like the rest of our agenda looks to be pretty rapid fire.
Yeah, no, this stuff is pretty rapid fire. So if you guys want to take like a brief like little breather here and you maybe throw out some like freeform comedy, you know, like you want to do a
What's
character
the
or something.
Deal with airline food?
What's the deal with, seriously, what is the deal with airline food? Do they like, once it's, is it kind of like a restaurant where if the airport doesn't
lucky,
eat it?
You're lucky if you're sitting in your seat, they chuck a pack of peanuts at you anymore.
Do you think, well, what does the airplane
the
eat?
Highlight of my...
Guys, what does the airplane eat?
The airplane eats dead dinosaur goo.
Nice. Okay. Yeah. Which they, of course, they siphon
those big circles that are underneath the wings.
Yeah, but
they
siphon it from Area 51, right. Which has the hole to hell. Tyler, you got anything for this?
They put it in the notes.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, but planes don't eat birds, because if you watch that one movie, the birds just like destroyed the plane.
Have you guys ever seen Birds? What, Birdemic?
One time I watched
Birdemic.
I watched a plane feeder. As they're known, the guys with the little orange cones that they wave around.
Yeah.
I watched them take one of those party size subs.
Oh, like Subway. It's like the catering size.
Yep. Not cut up. It was whole.
Wow, really?
Popped open the front of the nose and just slid that bad boy in there.
What kind of? Was there a lot of dressing on it?
It was a cold cut combo.
It was just slopped with that sweet Italian.
No, planes like mayo.
This Boeing 747 just like...
Italian's too spicy for planes.
What do trains eat? Railroad spikes.
Little kids.
Little kids.
Stand by Me, haven't you seen it?
Watch out, there's a train! Oh, we almost got hit by it! This is very stressing for a child. That's Stand By Me.
That was my favorite line in Stand By Me.
Yeah. I'm a kid. I'm a kid. We're going to almost get hit by a train on this.
I hope you always stand by me.
This adulthood quest that we're going on to the woods to find a dead body.
Go poke a dead body.
Let's rewind real quick. An Audible trial. You can also get Stand By Me by Stephen King and The Stand, which I am now 25 hours in.
The first week that we haven't just like sucked Stephen King's dick through the whole Audible.
Dude, if I... Oh my God, I saw the first scene of It, and I want to suck that man off. That fucking man is brilliant. It is
so good. Dark Tower.
Yeah, I'm sorry that movie didn't.
The Dark Tower book, man, I'm sad. I'm real sad about that.
You know what, guys? We're in this middle area. I just want to I think this middle area that we're in right now. Let's just keep this going. As I was talking about Masters of Doom in the Audible segment, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. There was a part of this book that really struck me. Mm-hmm. In the early days of the internet, well, it wasn't the internet, BBS message boards.
The dawn of time.
Imagine a world completely unnetworked. They want to sell their games, so they had shareware, right? Mm-hmm. This is how it actually was in the early 90s. I want you guys to imagine, we'll use Telltale as an example. You go on a message board, you download the first episode of the Telltale. You're like, wow, I really want this. Then you write a check to a man on a message board, you mail it out, and then you just sit at your house wondering if they're going to come through on it and eventually get floppies in a Ziploc. Like, that's literally
floppies in a Ziploc is actually my my hardcore early video game post-hardcore screamo band.
Yeah. Now, mine's actually Ziplocs in a
hardcore.
Is this where the secret mailman comes in?
Yeah, actually, if the secret mailman from episode 420,
I've heard that Paperboy is actually based on this whole concept. But the problem is,
that's gotta be why it's
when
so
they
difficult.
Programmed it for him to throw floppy disks, he was actually like decapitating people with them. So they had to,
yeah, they had to put him down.
They had to, right? They had to murder the original Paperboy. One down because he had a taste for blood at that point.
Yeah, no, no,
can't retrain. You know, and then they gave him less, you know, more inert newspapers.
So
you can't kill somebody with a newspaper.
But what they did with the original Paperboy is they buried him in the same cemetery that Gage is in, Pet Cemetery from Stephen King.
Right,
that's just bringing it full circle. Yeah. This has been fun. Oh, yeah, also...
I understand why the Necromancer is named Gage.
There you go, buddy.
Wow!
Did you just make that connection?
Well, I never read... I don't know about Pet Cemetery.
It's okay. Gage is... no spoilers for this 20-year-old book. I want you guys to read it. and then real quick, my little brother, Dan. Why Dan? Dan Why. I was like, Dan Owen, how are you doing? He was like, I'm good, Matt Owen. And I was like, nice. And then he was like, have you seen these Zelda mangas? And I'm like, huh, what?
Oh, what?
I heard about
Excuse me?
They
if
look
you
so
want,
dope.
It's in, I'm not going to reach. I'll show you guys after. But my brother bought all of them, or at least most of them.
Attaboy.
There
they
is,
look so cool.
They're mangas for Ocarina of Time, Majora's Mask, Four Swords Adventures, A Link to the Past, and essentially they're graphic novels. If you don't read manga, it's just Japanese graphic novels, essentially. You read them right to left instead of left to right, and they go through the entire game, currently.
Dan. You're a good boy.
I have read Ocarina of Time up until he's going to become an adult, and I can fully recommend these. They're great. They're great. They're really good. If you like Zelda, it's really... Oh, it's really good. It's,
do you recommend playing the games first?
You know what? No, because, like, easy spoiler, the Deku Tree in the manga is just, like, four panels of, like, oh, shit, here's the spider. Like, they don't really go into it that deeply. I haven't got to the temples yet when he's an adult.
Yeah.
but it's not exactly 100% canon, or it doesn't 100% follow. I mean, it does follow like Ocarina of Time, but like characters act a little bit differently. So playing the games, yeah, you're going to want to play the game, but you don't have to play the game before or after or anything like that. It's, well, it's good.
Excuse me, princess.
That was a Zelda joke.
Yes.
I hope you guys caught that one. Yeah, so you can get those. I have no clue how much they are. I'm sure they're expensive.
Speaking of the Land of the Rising Sun, there's a really, really cool anime coming out.
There's a really good Muse song.
Yeah, the Persona 5 anime. Oh, I'm so excited.
Nope, not that.
That's an actual thing. I'm just saying.
Yeah, no, I that's cool. I have not played Persona 5 yet, so it will land on deaf ears.
I really want to play Persona 5.
There's a really, really cool anime called Made in Abyss.
Little Hero Academia.
Where this orphan lives in this town where the biggest attraction is this bottomless pit at which in
sounds sexy.
Different levels are these creatures, and the orphan's mother was a famous creature slayer,
yeah,
and got lost in this pit and nobody had ever heard from her again, and so the orphan is obsessed with going down there and finds a little robot child that it befriends. And yeah, so it sounds
like
cool.
An anime.
Yeah,
I'm interested. I feel like I don't know why I have like this sixth sense that the audio is going all shitty now. It's about an hour in.
But in other news, bottomless pits. I've been playing Downwell.
Yeah, yeah. I was gonna say we just hit the hour mark. We have a lot of games here. Let's go quick, rapid fire.
Downwell. I think we talked about this before.
It was free
on PlayStation Plus, right?
Update, the book that I have in my backpack, The Ocarina of Time, is $20.
That's just for the individual. You can buy the entire collection on a site called Snazzle for $33.59. You can get it from...
send a check to them, they'll mail it to
you. And is it blackpack?
You get the full box collection from Barnes & Noble for $52.32. I mean, it looks like they're 20 bucks a piece, and there's five of them.
They're really good. Continue. Yeah, we talked about Downwell.
The long and short of it is it's a very, very visually simple game, roguelike, where you fall down a well, and you shoot guns out of your boots.
I hear that it's actually really fun.
Gun boots.
It's very fun. It's extremely difficult. The variation in it is really cool because there's all these different palette swaps you can do. You can earn.
Yeah.
So you can get like a classic Game Boy look.
You can get
a Virtual Boy look.
Zesty.
You get all these really sweet different upgrades. And
this is free on PlayStation Plus for August.
You gotta run that matcha skin.
I do pick it up. Downwell is good. PlayStation. Nog. Nog is a game. It's kind of like a cute little puzzle game. You have these boxes and you try to figure out how to open them up. It's published by Double Fine, made by, I can't remember the developer, PSVR. It's really cute. It's really fun. If you're looking for a PSVR game and you want to have a good time, it's not too intense. It's very relaxing. You just kind of diddle with things, and then once you figure out the puzzle of the box, then it's a really trippy animation.
Okay.
I played it. It's really good. It's real good. Okay?
Okay.
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 I hit something. Okay.
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 Okay is a game where you have to bounce a line off of a couple white blocks and a couple black blocks.
Okay.
This game is really, really casual. This is probably the most casual game I've ever played.
Okay. Okay.
I enjoy it. I mean, I'd give it a... I'm tempted to give it...
Like, okay out of...
An okay.
Okay out of nice.
Yeah.
Okay out of...
An okay out of nice, dude. Kevin, okay?
Can we make that like our official rating system now?
So if you guys want to do this, we can waste like the last 30 minutes of the show.
I mean, we'll brainstorm outside.
A one is bogus. A two is meh. A three is close, man. A four is like, I could fuck with it if I was drunk.
Five is okay.
Okay. That's all you need to know. Anything above it is just like, it's grab bag. It's like whatever you're feeling at that time.
The cool thing, it's one of those games where you fail a lot, so it restarts.
This is a mobile game, correct?
It's a mobile game.
It's called OK, has a question mark.
Yep. Pay what you want.
Nice.
Which is dope.
I think it's Mobile Corner time.
Next one is Empire and Puzzles.
Yeah, dude, throw it up. Empire and Puzzles.
Is a match three unlike any other match three I've played.
I've been playing some mobile games, but the kind of mobile games I've been playing are games like Maze Cat, which is like stuff for work. So I haven't been playing any personal things. Tell me about these things, because every time you guys have a mobile corner, you don't understand, but I do take all these things into consideration. I bought Reigns because...
You did buy Reigns.
Yeah,
And Reigns was amazing, was it not?
Yeah.
You're welcome.
It's really good.
You're welcome.
So tell me about these games, Empires and Puzzles.
Empire and Puzzles, I saw it, and it was rated really highly on the App Store. Usually I'll give those a shot, at least, to see if they're...
It was rated adult only?
No, it was rated like highly, like 4.6 out of 5.
Yeah.
So it's like, what kind of empires are you doing? Like a King Empire?
And so usually I'll give those a shot just to see if they're any good, or just if to see if they're those like money grab faff that like always. Well, I started playing this one and I was like, oh man, it's got that like art style that like Game of War has.
That flash kind of.
Yeah,
ooh, I got
like,
a bubble in my throat.
I'm like, oh no, this is going to be.
It's me, Max.
It's going to be weird. I'm like, I'm worried. And then I started playing it. I'm like, okay, this is pretty unique. So like normal match threes go down, right? When you break blocks.
Yeah, think of like a Bejeweled or something.
Yeah, so the things fill from the top. Well, this one fills from the bottom. Have you ever played Puzzles and Dragons?
Yes.
Okay, so you have creatures that you're fighting, and the way that you match three and successfully do so directly correlates with the damage you're doing to these creatures. Well, not only that, but where you match on the board, you have troops that march upward and hit whatever's in front of you.
Nice.
So you have to not only match three, but you have to match three in the right area of the screen in order to direct the troops at the enemy.
So
also,
this sounds like a bit more strategic for a match three kind of guy.
Yes.
There's also a rock, paper, scissors element to it.
Ooh, I do like me some rock, paper, scissors.
So, you know, black or purple and yellow are good against each other, you know, so on and so forth. There's a gacha element, a gachapon.
Gachapon, yeah.
Tyler, I've been bogarting this. Take it away.
Okay, I mean, I don't like it as much as you do, but I definitely get it. So
quick fire.
It is interesting where your heroes have abilities. It seems like you want to have one of each color.
Yes,
that's not necessary. You want to
gotta be diverse.
If you don't have a color and you match three of that color, it does no damage.
Include all colors.
No damage?
It does no damage.
Interesting.
It says hero missing.
Wow. Well, then you got to go find them.
There's also a town building aspect to it where you know, you drop a training facility, and
this
then one of the
fun
resources you can gather are recruits, and then you can train those recruits into heroes that you can then use in battle. Or
is there an idol? Is there an idol limit to this?
There is an idol limit, but it's
not an idol limit. Like an idol, you turn off your phone.
There is an idol aspect.
There
is
an idol aspect to it.
Where you like upgrade this and then go back to playing the actual game, which is the match three.
Yeah.
And while you're doing that, something's happening in the background.
The idle that I've experienced so far has been pretty quick. They're not going from 1 second to 10 seconds to a minute to 5 to 10 to 3 hours to
everything.
It's more like
5 seconds, a minute, and then 3 minutes.
Yeah.
This game sounds like word salad to me right now. Maybe it's just
it's a mash of a lot of things. I don't know if it's.
I think that's it. It is a mash of a lot of things, but it's done pretty well. I don't feel overwhelmed.
It's kind of what I wanted right now.
Empires and Puzzles. Yeah, you get it on your store. I feel like I need something familiar, but not too familiar.
You want to talk about Monster Hunter real quick?
No, I want to talk about Card Thief.
Oh, okay.
That's a thing that's familiar, but
Card
not...
Card Thief, that solitaire game, the solitaire game with the sneak game.
Yeah.
I didn't know anything about it last time we talked, and now I know some
things. You were introing it. You know, you're testing the water.
This game is so highly strategic. It's unreal. I love this. I love how well put together this game is.
This is a single player, right?
Yeah, it's a solitaire game where you're on a map of 9 cards, and you're one of these 9 cards.
Okay.
And you have to navigate through them all.
Yeah, 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 yeah. Sounds like a fun time.
Mm-hmm. And you're just trying to avoid guards and collect some treasure and escape with said treasure and not get caught.
Sounds like dumb fun, but also you said there's a big strategic element to it.
It's not easy. I think I may have
now,
beat the level twice.
Is it like a difficult game, or is it just it requires a lot of thought?
I wouldn't say it requires a lot of thought, because you can like stop and go back.
Okay.
You don't have to confirm you have to confirm when you want to do your move, and you
this
know what's going
thief,
to happen.
By
yeah.
the way. This is on mobile, Google, iPhone probably as well?
Probably. I haven't checked iOS. I really
always got to check Steam as well, too, because these things...
I don't think it's the Steam thing. I think it definitely feels like a mobile, straight up.
So you're putting some time into this. You'll probably be playing it for the next few weeks, I'd assume?
At least, yeah. I definitely come back to it in between all the other things I play, between Clash Royale and Dungeon Inc.
Dungeon Inc.
That's just an
incremental. Well, come back to us in maybe next episode or two episodes down when you finally put all your hours into it. Here's something. Have you said all you want to say on Card Thief for now?
Yeah.
Because I just... Look, we play D&D, right?
Yes.
We mess with the dungeons. We have played with a dragon or two. We will do a D&D one-off here. Probably around episode 100. I think it'll be fun. It'll be something light. This game catches my eye purely because it has the word dice in it. Dice Hunter.
Oh, God.
Tell me, is this what I want it to be?
Do you enjoy rolling dice?
Oh, yeah. Kevin, how about you? Do you like your dice in your mouth?
I actually do really like rolling dice, like dice games.
Mm-hmm. Now, I wish this was something I could play in real life because I love rolling dice. This is a set of six dice where you play this dice mancer who's turning creatures into dice.
His name is Gage.
I'm sure. your job is to just break through waves one by one. Swords do damage. Shields do. They give you a shield.
Yeah.
The stars and lightning bolts will activate special abilities.
Simplistic icon.
Yeah.
It's to the power up.
Yeah. It's It's very fun. There's also a gacha element in there where you can obtain additional dice that do different things. Like I got a wizard who shoots lightning bolts.
Is there a lot of like challenges or like what's the shtick? I mean, like, is there a campaign you play through? Is there like
I'm on PvE level 11. I haven't really found a PvP element, so I don't think there is one.
Okay.
Then again, I haven't unlocked all the things, but
play mobile games similarly. I feel like Kevin is the one who actually puts a lot of time into it. I feel like
up playing a lot of mobile.
We dabble. At least when I play, I maybe play like 20 levels of a game, and then I'm like, I did the thing, and I move on.
I recently downloaded a Game Boy emulator for my
That's a fun
choice.
It's illegal.
It's not illegal.
I'm playing Pokemon Red.
It's illegal.
Illegal.
That's illegal. You can't do that.
No, it's not.
You got to put your ROM into the back. I saw some iPhone
it.
Thing.
I own the game.
Well, then it's not illegal.
I'll find it for you.
It's not illegal. I have two copies, so I can own four ROMs. Isn't that how that works?
Yep.
No one's going to come to your house, download all the NES and SNES games, and then I laugh when Shigeru Miyamoto does a flying jump kick through your goddamn window and suffocates you because you played Super Mario Bros. 3 without paying royalties, you scummy fucks. Firewatch is a game that we talked about for Game of the Year.
Kev, do you know anyone that's playing Firewatch right now?
Nope.
Oh.
Well, I thought you wanted to talk about
it. Yeah, I'm just kidding.
What's next on the list, then?
I'm just kidding. No. Rachel's been playing Firewatch. I still haven't beaten it, so I'm going to count it as a beaten game if she beats it while I'm present.
It is a narrative game, so I would say
yeah,
it's fine.
I've been helping her with it when she gets stuck and stuff like that.
You could do this cute thing, kind of like, you ever seen the movie Ghost? Yeah, where instead of like, you know, you forming your hands around the clay, like you also hold the controller. So you guys are both moving.
Yeah, we could do it.
Yeah, they
walk
do
over
that.
The finish line together. You know, like that
yeah.
sort of thing.
Yeah, like a nice heartwarming story about someone who can't do what they want to do, which is Rachel, which is play a video game, but she can, and all because of your help.
Yep.
With your guiding hand.
But I'm alive.
Huh? This has gone off.
I'm not a ghost.
Oh yeah. R.I.P. Patrick Swayze. That movie I've actually never seen in real life. I just know that one scene where he touches Demi Moore's
and
hands.
He kicks people a lot, right?
Gets all. I feel like he was a poltergeist. Okay, so Firewatch. Yeah, we talked about this a lot in GOTY, keep it short, but yeah, still
Firewatch,
good.
You know, the walking sim, the critically acclaimed walking sim narrative.
You watch fires.
Piece.
You're a fire watcher.
Really is a great game.
Beat it twice,
the relationship you build between you and literally a disembodied voice essentially over a walkie-talkie is tangible. It's real, you know. It's good.
It's a fantastic game. Firewatch is still great. It came out last year. If you haven't played it, you should. Before we move on to this next game, do you have anything else?
No.
Before we move on to this next game, I want quiet in the studio as I attempt to Kobe this water bottle into this very small trash can. Quiet in the set. Kobe. Wasn't even fucking close.
That's okay. I was going to take it out and put it in the recycling bin later anyway.
Well, that's good. it was accurate. Kobe's retired for a reason, guys. Minecraft on the Nintendo Switch right away. Go, Tyler. You're laughing.
Yes. Okay. So
what can Steve do on the Switch that Actually, isn't the Switch have more like content now than like the Xbox versions and PS4?
Yeah.
Besides the 4K stuff, like Switch is getting stuff earlier.
Yeah, the Switch has everything that almost everything that the PC does.
Tell me about Minecraft in the Nintendo world of Switch.
It doesn't slow down. Okay. It's very comfy. It's exactly what you expect it to be, and you should turn your sensitivity up.
First, you playing on the Switch itself or TV?
Both.
How does it feel on the Switch? Because I feel like Minecraft in a hand is a big reason that they have the mobile ports, and the Switch is like that perfect, you know, where you feel like
it's the right size.
Yeah. Does it work well?
It's absolutely the right size.
If you're, for some reason, an adult listening to our show and you have children who might have a Switch and they're like, Mommy or Daddy, can I get Minecraft? You're going to have to take that away from your child because you know we're going to get back to that old school, like under the covers, just sitting up all night, building their base. Like, we used to do that with books and magazines and Game Boys.
Pokemon, yeah.
Remember when Game Boy didn't have a backlight? And so you had the thing,
yeah, that plugged into the tray
magnifier.
Oh,
you guys have that?
When you had the big gray Game Boy, the original, and you had like the plastic Iron Man suit that went on top of it that just made the screen huge, and it's got all sorts of lights.
You were legit.
What?
If you had the magnifier, you were legit.
Yeah, Game Boy was Game Boy camera. Oh my god. We'll do a whole thing about Game Boy
with the printer.
There was a TIL on Reddit the other day that was like, today I learned that the Game Boy had a fishing attachment that could, like, do sonar.
Sure, the Game Boy had an attachment where you could fucking rip your own heart out and put it in there and it would function as a beating heart.
Game Boy operation was kind of, like, pushed back, and then the color came out, and they just didn't do it anymore.
They were like, let's go for it. All right, so Minecraft feels good to play.
Absolutely.
It has a lot of content.
It does.
What have you been doing? Because Minecraft... maybe you can educate me. Minecraft, if you make a world on Xbox or PlayStation or PC, can you then visit that world on another device? Have they gotten that far yet?
I think so.
I remember they were talking about it at E3. Okay.
I haven't had an opportunity to do so.
Have you been making a new world?
I have made my own world, yes.
PvE? Are you trying to get to the dragon at the bottom of the Minecraft? Is that a thing? I think it is, right?
There's a dragon, I think.
In the end, right?
The ender dragon.
Yeah! I know Minecraft.
There's actually something beyond that now called the Wither.
And then once you get past the Wither, it's like...
No, that's the end.
That's it.
That's the end. The end isn't the end anymore.
Notch
kicks
you in
the
face.
He shows up, and you just, like, you can't move. You have to stare at him as he walks slowly to you.
And then he tells you his whole life story. He's like, please talk to me. Minecraft on Switch is good. Minecraft has always been a good time. I know people talk shit on it, but I played Minecraft on the PC and had a blast with my friends on our private server. Didn't live long for me, but I'm sure returning to it now, there's plenty of reasons. Mm-hmm. Here's my question to you, Tyler. Do you ever think they will take the jump and go full AdventureCraft? Like, AdventureCraft is a thing.
Yeah.
You know this.
Yes.
And when I played Minecraft, I eventually got sick of it. I got AdventureCraft because you can play other people's worlds.
Right.
That are meant to be played like missions.
So that is happening.
Yes!
That is a thing.
Yes!
The Minecraft store on the Switch, you can go in and purchase levels that have been made and submitted and okayed by the Mojang.
Yeah,
by the notch.
The whole thing that I felt like Minecraft was missing was a Little Big Planet-esque level creator where you could just finish. Because Minecraft is, at its base, a Lego-esque thing. You can create whatever you want.
Right.
It should be reasonable that you can create missions that have starts and ends.
Right.
I think that'd be silly that they wouldn't include that. So the fact that they're now including that means that this thing has legs. When Minecraft first came out, I was like, that's an interesting game. They've really built this into a game as a platform, which many companies failed to do. So it's good to see that even now on the Switch, it's still running great. They're still making additions, and it's looking good.
I might buy into Middle Earth just to...
Shadow Mortar?
No. On the Switch. Minecraft.
Because you said the words buy into and then Lord of the Rings thing.
Yeah.
And the whole thing about this new Lord of the Rings game, I don't know if you guys have heard, but it's just microtransactions.
Oh, no. Which, I was so excited.
You don't have to. It's like a little bullshit, kind of like an Ubi kind of thing. The game's still going to be good, but that was people are talking about because it requires an online connection, if I believe correctly, and bunch of stuff. I don't know. We'll talk about it when October comes. Yeah. Wake me up when September ends.
But what I meant was just like, you know, buy into the Minecrafted world of Middle Earth.
Oh, hell yeah. Is that a thing?
Yeah. Someone built block for block.
So you have to buy it to the server?
Yeah.
Oh.
And it's all protected, and you can like go in places and talk to people.
You guys want
to
start a server where we do like illegal things on Minecraft? Can you do any, like we sell like gold and maybe gigantic?
I play Minecraft.
Do you play like the dark Minecraft?
The deep dark Minecraft.
Like in the Nether?
Yeah.
Okay, so real quick though, this is just really nostalgic moment.
Nostalgia corner.
When I lived with Tyler and other Tyler,
yeah.
Former host of the show.
Yeah. R.I.P. Rush.
Rush made.
He's still alive.
Rush played as an omnipotent being that existed within our universe. Like, literally,
this was the most fun
he
we
could
had.
Turn himself visible and invisible, and he'd fly around and make stuff in the world.
Yeah.
Hidden like, caverns.
Like the director from Left 4 Dead.
Sure. Whenever we would complete these, like, monumental tasks, it felt like we were, like, prehistoric man, because we would do things, we would declare to him, you know,
yeah.
This is going to be my magnum opus.
Yeah, know? Yeah, yeah.
Mine was this, like, King's Road that I built between everybody's base. It took me weeks to build this thing. Tyler and I both built it. Tyler and I built some really cool shit, first of all, in that game. I was so proud of it.
Ice Castle.
Dude, we built an ice castle.
I was the guy who went onto the server at night when everyone was off and then moved everything one pixel
We still
over.
Did stuff like that.
Just, like the house would just be split in half
after
by one pixel.
We built this King's Road, Rush granted us these like artifacts. They were just weapons and tools that he just tweaked the code on a little bit. So like Tyler got a shovel that could just level dirt, just like 8 blocks of dirt all at once, and it could like it had this knockback like 10 on it. So he'd hit something, it would just go fucking flying.
But the damage was reduced to 1.
So it was just like a knockback machine.
Yes. So I was a shovel knight,
and I got a bow that like always shot flaming arrows and like all this other stuff.
Cooking bow.
And it just made it so fun. Like,
You guys should start that. You should start that back up and then send me the Ziploc.
He built this door that would only open at a certain time of day. And the only way you knew that it happened was you'd hear this little ba-doop bloop. Like, and so if you were near it, you could hear that. And you'd have to try to find the door before it closed again. And if it closed while you're in it, you had to wait till the next day.
Rush is an aspiring indie developer. And I really, truly hope.
That he takes
off with it, because that boy has so many great ideas, and he really understands how gameplay is integrated into world and storytelling. I won't belabor the point. Tyler Rush is a smart man. Guys, it's been an episode. The hour preceding the episode start, I was in my own personal hell. Hopefully, this episode sounds okay. Honestly, if it still sounds a little echoey, I'll work on it. We'll figure it out. It's been great. Let's tell people where they can reach us before we get this awesome game effect. Guys, if you want to talk to us, like I said before, both me and Kevin are members of a90skid.com. We are on the staff. If you want to go on there, you can check out a bunch of things. The YouTube channel also has live streaming now every morning at 9 a.m. That's Matt Falvia. He does that. He's been playing Final Fantasy, Sonic Mania, Undertale, etc., etc. You can join the Discord that we have, both a Super Gamecast 64 Discord and the A90s Kid Discord if you want. Links to that probably in the show notes if I remember. Let's do Twitters. The official Super Gamecast 64 Twitter is at Super Gamecast 64. And you can find me personally at SGC64Matt.
I am at gingerbeard_man, beer like the beverage.
I am at T Tremaglio.
If you want to email us, that's sgc64mail@gmail.com. Developers, publishers, friends, family, comments, whatever you want, all welcome. If you do, leave us a review on iTunes. Shit, I forgot somebody left us a review on iTunes. We will not be able to get to that this episode because I don't have it pulled up. We'll do it next episode, episode 93. Thank you to the person who gave us the 5-star review.
Maybe the first thing we do right after the thing.
It's usually, Review Robot's the intro segment.
Yeah.
So thanks to the person who did that. If you do, person who did that 5-star review, want a free game, we do have several games. You can just message me on Twitter or Facebook if you're somebody who is on the thing. Like I said, sgc64mail@gmail.com, audibletrial.com/sgc64 for free audiobooks, and rate us 5 stars, or, I mean, whatever you want to rate us, on iTunes, and your review will be read out on the show by our very own review robot 2K12 3000. Guys, am I forgetting anything? No,
I don't think so. I mean,
Kevin?
Yeah, Matt.
Give me that sweet game fact. Ooh,
I thought you'd never ask.
No, okay. No, give me it.
So, moving a little west of the land of the rising sun to the land of China.
the land of many people.
Sure.
There's a lot of people in China.
So they have an unofficial, speaking of Earth, League of Legends restaurant.
What?
Yeah, it's called Demacia.
Holy shit.
Yeah, the waiters and waitresses cosplay characters from League of Legends.
Yeah.
All of the food and drink is named after items that you can buy.
See, that's the kind of shit we need here. Oh, continue.
You can also get a discount if you play the game to some degree.
They're like, hey, what rank are you? You're like, I'm Diamond. They're like, fuck off. You're not even Challenger. You get 2% off. But here's, God, honestly, coming off that, that's what we need more. I think video game culture, video game industry is bigger than the movie industry in America. I think for every Universal Studios we have and stuff like that, there should be video game content. We're starting to see it, like Mario World at Disney. I think these kind of emerging barcades and silly things like that will do well. So for any reason, you're a business owner and you're like, I want to start something new. Do shit like that. It's a great idea and it's a great time. Guys, thanks for listening to episode 92 of Super Gamecast 64. I've been Matt.
I have been and always will be Kevin.
Tyler.
I'm Tyler. I'm sorry. I messed up.
I'm going to try this one out. You guys, imagine your mom completely underwater.
For like a brief time, right? Not like permanently.
That's up to you. This recording is done.
I fucking love chips.
I fucking love chips.